This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Kim Grinnells of Dogman.com with Chris Fetter, Scott Eklund. Day four, spring football 2022. Absolutely gorgeous day out at Husky Stadium. A little bit windy, a little bit nippy, but really nice out. And for those out of town, temperatures expected in the Seattle area tomorrow, 70 degrees. So it'll be a nice day out tomorrow, but no practice. But day four, another day where, you know, they're just not letting us see a whole lot out there. But, you know, we did take some notes on some things that we maybe caught our eye. And, you know, Scott, you mentioned early on, you know, just taking a look at the secondary.
Yeah, the secondary was a little, they made a little bit of a change there. Not, you know, a massive change or anything, but Jordan Perryman was running with the first unit along with Michelle Powell. And then Asa Turner and Alex Cook were the two safeties. They weren't running with a Husky most of the time.
Well, the first group that came out, they ran like the jumbo
set. Like, the jumbo
they
set,
did, like
yeah.
With Bob Gregory last year. They ran an extra defensive line.
Which was Voight Tanufi today.
And O.K. Breckerfield on Monday said that they're going to be running some over and under. They're going to be running a little bit of both. So I think, you know, running a 3 D-line set on first down could be end up being a very common
thing. So today the D-linemen were Kuopehapa, Tuli Letuligasanoa. Those are the two main guys who've been with the ones anyway. But Voight Tanufi, who had been with the second unit, was actually running with the first unit.
Don't mean to sound cynical, but a lot of the time when I'm seeing guys running with the ones and the twos and the difference with the quarterbacks and the running backs, some guys are ones one day, it just still feels like a lot of feeling out that they're trying to do mixing and matching and see who plays together and trying to figure out packages.
Well, this is their time. This is the time of the year when the coaches can experiment with different things. They can see who works better with who. They can see who handles things better and all that different stuff. The one thing is somebody on our message board asked in the practice thread, because I haven't weighed in on why I think Camden Sermon's getting more reps or getting reps with the ones, and why Dylan Morris is getting reps with the quarterbacks and the first unit when it seemed like they're. And I said, since we don't get to watch all of practice, I don't know if I can weigh in with any kind of certainty on why I think the players are getting the rotation they're getting. I think this is just how the coaches map it out. And that's who's running with who right now.
Well, today's supposed to be the last day that they're all getting equal reps, apparently.
But that's what they said. Right. But that doesn't mean that when they go to the regular stuff, when we're not in there, that Sam Heward isn't getting first-team reps. We don't know.
Scott, getting back to secondary, Jordan Perryman, the transfer from UC Davis, he looks the part. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed much of him out there? What can you tell people about him?
Well, I mean, he's long. He's really well put together, got good speed, and was a third-team All-American in the FCS. Now, that's not Pac-12 level, but, you know, he's one of the top six corners in the country for FCS. So... I like him. I've thought all along that it was going to be him and possibly either Jacoby Covington or Michelle Powell as your starting corners, and that still, my mind hasn't changed on that. I think those are kind of the guys that I think are going to be end up being your corners. But Elijah Jackson has also had a good and so Elijah Jackson, if we're talking about the second unit, Elijah Jackson and Jacoby Covington were your second unit cornerbacks. So.
Perryman, his build reminds me of when Dominique Hampton showed up. Hampton's obviously put on a lot more weight, but body type of Dominique Hampton when he first showed up.
Yes, long arms, good speed, and coverage ability. Yeah, I mean, he's I mean, honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if he's a guy who got used at Husky every now and then, too.
Yeah, and, you know, when we talk about the corners with, you know, Perryman, Michelle Powell, Jacoby Covington.
Elijah Jackson.
When we talk about those guys, those are all guys that are going to play a lot, especially, you know, when they go to nickel and dime packages.
Absolutely, yeah. And Devon Banks is also in there in the mix a little bit, and Dyson McCutcheon is also in there. Lots of different body types and sizes they're going to be able to use at those positions, and guys with a lot of experience, too.
You mentioned the linebacker position before we came on. What were you talking about, linebackers?
Well, the linebackers, I hadn't noticed that Cam Bright was getting in there because he'd only been on campus for a couple days, so I didn't know. He wasn't really running with the twos that I noticed, but today it was him and Drew Fowler as the two middle linebackers today with the second unit, so...
Yeah, which was interesting because it's still Tupatala and Carson Bruner, which begs the question, where's Daniel Hooley? What are they looking for in him? Because he has been running at times with different units, but again...
Wasn't today.
It was a little mix and match there, but yet the safeties seem pretty aligned with what they've been doing. Definitely the offensive and defensive lines, if you take away that extra lineman, those base packages have looked pretty similar, and especially like... You know, all the other base packages, especially on offense, look pretty set right now, at least in terms of the first 4 days. I didn't see a ton of changes.
And, Chris, you mentioned earlier that, you know, according to what Coach DeBoer has told us, you know, day four would be the last day of guys getting equal reps. And when we look at the quarterbacks, what are you expecting to see? What did you see today out of the quarterbacks, and what are you expecting to see on Friday?
Well, I saw Dylan Morris get number one reps, so I did see that. As much as we could see some 11-on-11 stuff, which wasn't much. You know, got to see Sam Heward get some reps in there behind him, which I expect, you know, like you said, if it's during the times that we don't see them play, then that's one thing. We can only go by what we've seen. And, you know, just at this point, it really just feels like they're just still just going against air. There really it has I have not seen a ton of real one-on-ones where it's the tight ends and the receivers going up against the linebackers and the DBs where the quarterbacks are going to have to find them down the field. I think of all the periods that we've seen so far, I think I've seen one short period in the first 4 days. And so as far as the competition levels, it's very difficult to know exactly who's getting the better of whom.
Do you know anything more about the quarterback competition today than you did before spring ball started?
I will say this. I don't know any more day four than I knew day one.
Or before day one started.
Well, no, because I wanted to see Penix throw. I wanted to see those guys go through it. But basically, we're a week into it now, and I haven't seen anything different from those three guys compared to what I've seen before. The only new thing today was that we saw another new quarterback, walk-on quarterback, with more family ties with Andrew Sermon, which was kind of cool.
From Bothell High School.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jacob's brother and Camden's cousin.
Got a running back at practice today?
Who?
Oh, well, you pulled a quick one on us.
I don't know. Who?
Didn't we see, what's his name? Now I'm spacing out on his name. Number 28.
Sam Adams has always been
at
practice.
He's been out there. He's been had in yellow. A penny on.
He's been on yellow.
Yeah. Was he participating a little bit more today?
He got some receptions out of the backfield today, I saw. I didn't.
But he's been out there.
Yeah, he has been out. I'm sorry, Kim. I really wasn't. Okay, I really wasn't trying to.
I was like, you know, you were paying attention to something
yeah,
weird.
I didn't see that. But yeah, no, I mean, it's been the same guys. You know, Camden Sermon with the ones, Aaron Dumas and JB on Sunday with the twos. Saw Sam Adams getting some reps in there, yes, One thing the quarterbacks were working on was getting the snap and immediately getting it to the running back out in the flat or wherever the route was going. So they're working a lot on the timing of things and how – and the offensive linemen were working on taking 1-2 and then going – you know, doing their thing on those kind of things. So just working on the timings of different things.
It was hard to see what Lee Marks was doing because he's kind of on the opposite side of the field with the running backs compared to where we are. Yeah. We get to see a lot more of
offensive
Jamarcus
line,
Shepard
yeah.
working with the receivers and Scott Huff working with the offensive line. At least with Shepard and those guys, man, a lot of footwork stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of footwork stuff.
Well, they do a drill with the offensive. We're talking about offensive line here. Where they put the where they put the offensive linemen with their hands behind their back, and they can't use their hands to block. All they're doing is using their feet, and it's a footwork drill, like you said. So it's like a mirror they're type really thing. Trying to make sure that their feet are good and that they're getting in good position to block guys instead of just relying on their arms.
Scott, you've done a great job all spring about getting people worked up about Camden Sermon running with the first string running backs. Can you please explain to people once and for all why he is running at running back?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, Kim. I can't tell people why he's getting the reps and Aaron Dumas and JV on Sunday are not. I don't know why. All I can tell you is, like Kim has said, the room is very thin. And so there are different guys that than we are used to seeing getting reps at the run in the running back room. Now, why a guy like Aaron Dumas, who is an experienced running back, isn't getting reps with the first team,
I will tell you exactly why.
Why?
They don't want us to see it.
Yeah, might not. I don't know.
But we've seen other running backs get those turns.
Yeah.
We have. I mean, he's just literally, he is the first one that comes out.
That room
that when you look at the ones. But, you know, it's not like it's any different when they're trying to get the ones for the other quarterbacks. You know, and again, if they don't want us to see something, that's fine. But I don't understand why that would make any difference. The only reason I thought it was curious, and again, I think it's interesting that Camden actually pushed for the move instead of being asked to do it. I thought that was kind of interesting. Today, we got a chance to talk to him. But, you know, it just, when I first, the very, very first impulse that I saw when I saw him line up, I was like, oh, they're just going to work on double passes now.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to work on something. This has trick play written all over it, but clearly, that's not the case.
I asked him about running the Wildcat with him in there, and he said he ran it once last year, didn't he?
Maybe.
Might have.
But again, Kim, this, and I don't want to jump too far ahead because we will be breaking down some of the recruiting stuff because there's been plenty of recruiting stuff the last 24 hours. But it just feels like the skill guys that they're getting on offense and the skill guys that they want to have in their offense, whether it, and we're talking about the guys that are already here too, so they're trying to piece together based on what was left in the cupboard. They really want to get guys that are equally adept at receiver and running back. Like, for instance, back in the day when Washington got a commitment from Kamari Pleasant. Well, when Kamari Pleasant was committed to Arizona State, he was telling us at the time that they really liked him as a receiver, whereas Washington wanted him as a running back, and that's one of the main reasons why he committed to Washington in the first place. You look at the guys that they're coming in, whether it's high school commits, whether it's transfers, you look at all those guys, there might be one or two that are pigeonholed in very specific roles, like a burly running back or a very specific type receiver, but they're also getting those combo guys, those hybrid guys, that are elusive and that they can put in the backfield just as easily as putting into the slot or out wide. And I think that's really interesting because I'm wondering how long it's going to take for all this to really take root offensively, because the last staff, and it isn't their fault because they were recruiting to a wholly different system, but I really wonder how much it's going to take to really turn this thing over to get the skill guys that they want, because this could take a little bit.
Scott, before we got, you know, the recording going, you mentioned Voit Tanufi. You know, what were you talking about with Voit?
Well, that he was playing with the threes, or I'm sorry, playing with the ones, the first unit. He was the third defensive lineman. They're using him kind of as a five tech, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, we're talking to Bruckfield yesterday. He really talked about his quickness and his get off, his strike and everything else. He has to, the way Breckfield kind of termed it, because he's not the biggest defensive lineman out there, because was he 6'1", 280, 275?
275, yeah.
He's got to use his quickness and his first step and get off to really create his advantage. And so his advantage is going to be a little bit more in the pass game and in pass rush, getting the quarterback or the ball carrier, than it is being a true run stopper like a Thule or a Kwapehoba or like an MJ Ale, you know. So he's built a little different. Obviously, he's going to get upfield a little bit more. So to have him kind of spread out a little bit more, whether it's that maybe as a defensive end, five technique, whatever you want to call that, That's not surprising to me, especially in a three defensive line front.
We haven't seen any scrimmaging at all. We haven't seen any live contact at all. So, just one guy. Just has MJ Ale caught your eye at all?
No,
not at
no.
all.
No, but I mean, he was in there.
Yeah,
with the second unit on the when they went jumbo.
Yeah,
he was in there, but he has not done anything. I'm not saying he's not playing well. I'm just saying he hadn't done anything in the time we've been.
Well, and again, this was the shirts and shorts practice. This was. But it wasn't full pads, and when you're not in full pads yet,
he's the guy that we need to see in contact.
Yes, mm-hmm.
I mean before we make any evaluation whatsoever.
Same goes.
And we're probably not going to see it. So
yeah, but I'm hoping on Friday is when they go full pads. That's when they should be.
But we're not going to see any. I mean, if things hold true, we're not going to see anything. Yes. So.
Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Some recruits here today, Scott.
Yeah, well, Renton High School was all in town. Or not all of them, I guess.
But they had half their team
half
here
their
the
team
other day and
on
half
Monday
today.
And half today. And but the big guy was Jabari Johnson, the Tacoma quarterback from Lincoln High School. He was up saying how much. Just kind of told me after practice that he liked what he saw. He was having fun with it. And Coach Sheridan went up and. Gave him a hug and everything like that. So yeah, he was the guy that I was focused on. There was also Austin Dismas? I can't remember the name. How you say his name? But he was here too. He was talking to Sheridan a little bit. He's a tight end.
There was a kid up Tucker Ashcraft.
Yeah, Tucker Ashcraft is another one.
Who's Tucker Ashcraft, by the way? Do you know?
I don't know it off the top of my head. So,
Any other recruits there that you?
No, not right now. Nope. That there's some scheduled for Friday, I think, and some scheduled for over the weekend.
It's been a busy couple of days with recruiting, with three commits, two are transfers, and Keith Reynolds out of SoCal.
Yeah, let's talk about Keith Reynolds first. He's out of Adelanto, I think, high school down in California.
He's been at a couple high schools, hasn't he, Scott?
No.
He's been at a couple.
He told me that he was like, I haven't been. He goes, I asked him, and he said Adelanto is the only place he's been.
Okay.
So, not a very big kid. He's listed at 5'10". I don't think he's 5'10". I think he's probably like 5'8", and like 170 pounds. He said he's going to come in and play a little bit of running back, but mostly slot. They like him as a slot wide receiver, but the guy that can move out and they can use him in different ways, fly sweeps, all that different stuff. Played quarterback, running back, wide receiver, safety, kick, and punt returner. So he barely left the field for Adelanto last year. We only had 7-game stats from him, but he had over 1,000 yards in those 7 games of combined offense and defense. And just a good-looking athlete, real sudden, has great explosiveness. And Washington was his main offer, but Arizona State, Colorado State, Grambling and Idaho State were his offers. So.
He seems like one of those guys now that he's committed to Washington, the typical thing that happens.
It might blow up a little bit.
They're going to have to maintain that guy for sure.
Yeah, I think he's going to see things pick up for him.
Because this is just the natural tendency for recruiting. When a guy commits to a school like Washington, it doesn't have to be just Washington. It could be any Pac-12 school or any Power 5 school. All of a sudden, they're on the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you're on the radar, that's what peaks the other school's attention, and they're like, did we miss something here? Did we skip a step? Why did we overlook this guy? And so that's when the other schools will start doing their due diligence.
So something new happened today. We had a first for...
No, just before today. We get there, I just wanted to chime in on Reynolds. Just some of the scouts I talked to, just some of the comments I got from them was he plays basketball as well, and he dunks in games, so that's an indication of the explosiveness.
Yeah, he said he averaged... like 19 points a game or something like that.
Yeah, comparisons, where I was talking to some guys at Chico McClatcher, and they said, no, probably closer to Jadon Mickens.
Okay.
Reminds him of Marvin Hall a lot, and those guys both in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing I saw was the guy told me he wears a size 12 shoe.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're his size, but you have a size 12 shoe, it's a good indication you're maybe not done growing yet.
Maybe.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, he could end up being what Chico could have been if Chico hadn't been moved to running back at Federal Way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I saw Chico, he was, ran that 4.35 before he went to ninth grade at Federal Way. He was built to be that slot receiver type. And then because of needs at Federal Way, they bulked him up. They got him bigger. And so I'm wondering, since – because you look at some of Keith Reynolds' tape, he plays quarterback sometimes too. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was really, really interesting. And so obviously I don't think that's a guy that they're going to bulk up and make bigger, faster, stronger, all that stuff to fit a certain role. But what I wonder, guys, is that you look at Reynolds, you look at Tybo Rogers, you're looking at Tybo Rogers, a little bit bigger guy, probably a little bit more in that running back mold. Are they getting these guys so that when they mold them a certain way at Washington, do they want to become – because I'm looking at Fresno State's skill guys. I'm looking at Jalen Cropper. I'm looking at Ronnie Rivers. I'm looking – do any of these guys – are you seeing the template where all of a sudden they can turn them into those types of players? Because it feels like they would be recruiting to find the next Jalen Cropper, to find the next Ronnie Rivers.
Not necessarily, but who am I? I don't know. I haven't seen it. The guy that fits those molds yet.
But it seems like they're looking for those Swiss Army knife type guys where they can put him in the backfield, they can put him in the slot,
exactly.
They can put him out wide, and they don't, even with their running backs, it almost feels like, you know, just, and I'm talking about just based on the recruiting that they're doing to date, because the next guy that we're going to be talking about, the guy that you mentioned, started to mention, that guy's getting recruited as a running back and a receiver as well.
Well, actually, we're not going to talk about him, but we're going to talk about the transfer coming in from West Virginia via
Hawaii. Virginia.
Virginia.
I thought it was West Virginia.
Just Virginia.
But via Hawaii, doesn't look to have a big speed, but just a red zone monster.
Yeah. Wayne Talapapa.
Do you remember him when he's being recruited?
Absolutely
at all?
Not. Nope.
Okay.
He was from Punahou. Washington wasn't in on a lot of the Hawaii guys back then, and no, I don't remember him.
But based on the recruiting, it looked like Virginia was maybe one of his better offers by a distance.
And he was a 4-year player there.
And Virginia's had a couple players from Hawaii go there. Mm-hmm. So there was a bit of a connection because Bronco Mendenhall was the coach, and there's the LDS connection as well. Mm-hmm. So they had a bunch of connections there. No, but at
then,
the time he was being recruited, because when we're talking about Talapapa, we're talking about a guy who's going to have 1 year.
Yep.
He's going to be a grad guy.
One year of eligibility, and he, all indications look like he's a red zone third down guy.
Yes, he to me, I was looking at Cyrus Habibilikio, the kid from
Oregon. That's a great comparison, I think. He went to Millikan, right? He was a Millikan guy.
I can't remember. I just remember that every time you looked at a situation where it would be like, okay, Oregon, this would be a great power situation for them. They would bring him in, and he would be a red zone, third down type guy. I see that a lot with Talapapa.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting, too, because he's a guy that was a captain for Virginia last year. So I'm kind of wondering.
Cam Wright was a captain.
I'm wondering if this was one of those short-term deals where they really wanted to find some leadership in that room, because that room is going to still be very young, the running back room, because, you lose your seniors. You lost Sean McGrew. You lost Kamari Pleasant. Now all of a sudden Richard Newton is the most experienced guy by a bit, and Cam Davis is obviously coming into his own. But you've got – it's still relatively young in that group, and I think they want to find a guy or two that can really be leading that group by example, because I think one of the things that I've noticed, guys, just in general – is that these coaches really want the players to take responsibility and ownership for what's going on. And talking to Devin Culp, he really felt like, starting with Ron McKeefrey in the offseason, McKeefrey wasn't one of those guys that just laid it on him and was harping him all the time. He wanted to coach the leaders of the position groups so that they would take it upon themselves to, make sure the rest of the guys in their group were holding their own.
When you're talking about taking a guy from Virginia, Virginia is a high academic school.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people compare it to Stanford, but the East Coast version of Stanford. But team captain, high academic guy, which probably means high character guy, so he seems to be a good fit, especially with the lack of depth at running back right now. But with what they're doing, it sure makes it interesting, what's that transfer portal going to look like next
month? Well, the irony was is that when I watched some of his film, He seemed to be the kind of guy that you would have thought would have been the kind of running back that Keith Bonifal would have targeted. This would have been a guy that would have been a perfect fit in the system that they were running the last 2 years. He was a guy that, again, will make most of his hay between the tackles, is playing behind his pads, will push the pile, will give max effort, will be a bull in there, and he'll carry guys. But yet it feels like they've got a ton of big guys in this group, but only every once in a while do you see that real physicality show up. We've seen it a couple times with Cam Davis. He's moved some piles, and it's really, it's been noticeable when he's done it. And Newton has done it a couple times, but you just don't see that continual max effort. Mm-hmm. You see every once in a while they do it, and then they get stuck, or they try to do something and get bounced. So when I look at a guy like Wayne Talapapa, I see a guy that would have fit perfectly, not only in I think what they're going to try to do with him this year, but I think he would have fit perfectly into what they did last year, too.
Another commit announced today, because I think this commitment actually happened a couple of days ago, and they wanted to kind of space it out a little bit and not have them all at the same time. But Will Nixon, out of Nebraska, dad, former offensive coordinator at Baylor, is with the Carolina Panthers now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, football family. But you had a chance to talk to Will, Scott.
Yeah, well, first of all, what we were talking about, first time that we've ever had a coach woof in the middle of practice.
That was new.
Yeah, it was kind of new for us. And then that was at 9:40 that came down. And then the announcement happened like right about 10 o'clock. Will Nixon.
No, it was more like 10:30, 10:20.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was
a lot closer to when we went back out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, whenever it was, he made his announcement. I did get a chance to talk to him. Washington is bringing him in as a running back. They are not bringing him in as a wide receiver. Now, he will play some slot, and he will play some wideout. But he said, I am being brought in as a running back.
And he did both. He's from Waco, yeah. So I don't know if he knows JB on Sunday that well, because I think they went to different schools. Mm-hmm. But, again, yeah, it's interesting that, here's a guy that was playing receiver at Nebraska, yet he's coming in, and he was a dual-threat guy in Waco. So this is not a situation that's wholly unfamiliar with him.
Yep.
I thought the other interesting part, too, was that even though he's being brought in as both, he was recruited by Jamarcus Shepherd to Purdue.
Yes.
He had a Purdue offer out of high school.
Yep.
So I thought that was interesting. That's why I would have thought maybe Shepherd was like, hey, I know this guy. I wanted this guy. Let's get this guy because I want him in my group.
Well, it's kind of funny. You're getting a transfer wide receiver from Nebraska. I'm scheduled to play golf tomorrow with, at one time, the all-time leading receiver at Nebraska, Hall of Fame member at University of Nebraska. I'm actually playing golf with John Bostic tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Remember?
Yep,
I used to give him a hard time. All-time leading receiver at Nebraska with three catches. So, yeah. John, if you're listening to this.
Well, who's the greatest receiver to ever come out of Nebraska? He was taken number one in the overall in the NFL draft.
Can't remember.
Irving Fryer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, as far back to Nixon real quick, he had offers from Washington, obviously. He also had one from Purdue, which they just re-upped his offer.
Yeah.
He had Colorado and Rutgers, and he said he had 10 other non-Power 5 schools that offered as well. And then he, in addition to Washington, which he visited, I think, back in early February, maybe? I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, you talked to him. I think it was about a month ago.
Yeah, and then he said he also visited Rutgers in Colorado. So I'll have a full write-up. He talked to me and gave me a bunch of
stuff. But it's clear the main thing that was really hamstringing him at Nebraska was that he was hurt.
Yeah.
So getting him to see how healthy he is, it's kind of like, it's like Penix a little bit. You see the athlete there. You see the potential. You know it's there. You've seen it on tape in other forms, in other places. Can he put it together once he becomes 100% healthy? And by all accounts, it sounds like he's back to 100%. So we'll see.
Yeah, a couple notes on basketball. Just keep your eyes on the transfer portal. Some real interesting stuff going on at Washington. I know that, I can't remember his last name, but Fardaz is
AMAC.
Yeah, he's the center from Utah Valley State. And I keep on calling him Fardog. Dawgs. I know that's not his name, but
Fardogs. AMAC.
Yeah, Fardogs. But he's probably the number one recruit in the transfer portal right now, and
for Washington, not overall.
Yeah, we're hearing that he is going to be on campus this week. Also, another potential is Isaiah Cottrell from West Virginia, 6'11", 245, another big. Keep an eye on him. Frank
Kepnang
from Oregon, big guy on that roster, more of a defensive rebounder, shot blocker type, not a real offensive game with him, but I know that he's going to be getting some interest from Washington, and those are the three bigs that I think you'll see get interest from Washington, and then the one that we've been hearing about for quite some time, Noah Williams, has entered the transfer portal from Washington State. He is from O'Day. He knows all the guys at Washington. He would be a great fit for the zone here, but keep an eye on Noah Williams, you know, in the transfer portal. And, you know, if he does visit Washington or commits, we can go into depth on some of the issues that were happening back at Washington State. But just in a nutshell, he tried to get into a bar with a fake ID, and there was a scuffle that ensued, and he was suspended for disciplinary actions, and then the tape came out that he really wasn't the aggressor, it was the bouncer. So he was kind of exonerated for that, but left a bad taste in his mouth with everything that was going on at Washington State, like he didn't believe him, so he's entered the transfer portal. So keep an eye on Noah Williams, and I actually liked him quite a bit as a wide receiver in football. Do you remember him as a wide receiver at O'Day?
I do not.
Well, they throw the ball so much there,
yes,
you know.
Yeah,
so,
not at all.
Yeah.
Hardly at all.
But,
well, Paolo Banchero was a quarterback, too, at one time.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. Yeah? Yeah. Ninth grade quarterback.
Yeah. But Terrence Williams was a pretty good player at Rainier Beach.
Yeah.
So Josh Williams played left tackle.
There you go.
At Kentwood.
Sure.
But anyways, just anything to wrap it up with, Chris? Any last minute things?
No, just a lot going on. Again, you know, if it's not what's happening on the field, it's what's happening in recruiting. The staff's keeping us on our toes, and it's good. We talked to a bunch of guys today, including Coach Sheridan, and his family was out today. So got to see his little boy play with Mike Penix, which was kind of funny.
I know.
His son is all about the energy, and
I'll tell you what, his son is built like he's going to be a lineman, man. He is a big boy.
Yeah, even though he's what, maybe two?
Three and a half.
Oh, three and a half. Yeah, he's a pretty funny kid. And then, but just talked to Devin Kolb, had some good stuff with Devin. You guys talked to Camden Surman, also, like, again, Coach Sheridan. Talked to Jalen Polk, and there was maybe one or two other people that we talked to. So Scott Uff,
yep.
Talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a lot of good stuff. So we'll have in the next day or two, we'll have a lot of good stuff coming up.
Scott?
Yeah, I mean, not a lot to take from practice just because we don't get to see that much. But fun talking to the coaches afterwards. This I so missed the gaggles that we're able to do now than over the last 2 years that we weren't able to do. We can get so much more information for you guys and do so much more content for you, and that's always fun. I'm hoping that eventually we get to watch practices at some point and see where things are going, and so we can maybe make a little bit more assessment for you guys. But at this point, we're not going to be able to give you much from practice, but we can give you a lot of what the thoughts are. So
Savelle Smalls putting in the work after practice again.
Yep. Sam and
he was with Jake Jennings.
Yeah,
looked like he was showing Jake Jennings how to do some rip moves and some swim moves and some other stuff.
Sam out late. Penix was over on the side talking to the coaches.
Dylan the receivers. Morris.
Dylan Morris was with Aaron Dumas.
Yeah,
they were hashing some things out. So
yeah, so guys staying late.
Yep,
always good to see.
Not a bad thing to see.
All right.
There was also something in the corner by the tunnel. There was a banner, and it said TNT, and it had a whole bunch of words. And
We're still trying to figure it out,
because guys would come up to it, and they'd touch it, and then they go do their thing. I don't know if it's their new acronym for this year, if TNT is, because they have been talking about explosive offense and everything else, so I don't know. Maybe look for more on TNT.
Dynamite.
Yeah, looking forward to Friday to see what we see. The weather's, again, supposed to be in the 70s tomorrow, but it's supposed to rain on Friday again.
Yeah.
So
it's supposed to be back down in the 30s.
Yeah, so we'll keep you guys updated. It's been a busy week so far.
Mm-hmm.
Monday, yesterday, and today have all been really, really busy, so we've got a lot of work to do. So just keep it here at dogman.com, and if your friends aren't subscribers, tell them to subscribe. So anyways, for all of us at dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnells, along with Chris Fetters and Scott Eklund. Go Dogs.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.